Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted Podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the Permission Granted Podcast, the PGP, the show about the show within the show. We encourage you to subscribe on iTunes, and when you do that, please leave a review. That way that other people can find it. It definitely helps other people find the podcast. It is the show about the show, and other people need to find the show about the show. The Permission Granted Podcast, also available on daoncbs.com. Easily listenable DA On Demand link there. Now, Mraz joins me, and today, Monday's show, we did a lot on athletes that end their careers in odd uniforms after Tony Parker signs with the Charlotte Hornets. Sometimes I hesitate on radio shows like that because they sound a little bit like Mount Rushmore shows.
Yes, a little bit, but this was different and relevant.
I feel like it was relevant, and I also feel like those are the shows where you're digging into the minutiae of sports versus really easy, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Who's your Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks ever? We got some really good ones. Like, I don't even remember Frank Thomas on the Blue Jays or Manny Ramirez on the Rays. I would have never remembered those without our callers and listeners.
Right, and every once in a while, it's good for a good trip down memory road where if callers are bringing something to the table there and bringing up stuff that we would forget, I think that's a great conversation. I enjoyed it.
But the one thing that annoyed you was that we talked right off the bat about Arizona Cardinals, Emmitt Smith, which is obviously really weird, and that's kind of the one that everybody always cites all the time. It's
right.
Jordan on the Wizards, Emmitt on the Cardinals. And so we talked about that right off the bat when he started this, and the conversation went like more than an hour. And as the hour went on, more and more people kept calling you to tell you Emmitt Smith Cardinals off the air.
Off the air. So basically what I would do in my producer spot, if we take you behind the scenes, is I would ask them on the phone, because we had a lot of phone calls on this, who do you want to mention? And the whole point was you don't want to have the same guy mentioning the 10th person on the air that, all right, we already did that, because there's constantly new people listening. I must have gotten, it had to have by the end been at least 12 to 15 people thinking they just came up with Emmitt Smith on the Cardinals. Like, I got the case cracker. This is one you guys haven't talked about. By the end, I was literally slamming the phone into the receiver because I couldn't take it anymore. And I'm not blaming the caller, because if they just tuned in, didn't hear us say Emmitt Smith to the Cardinals. But it's, I mean, at some point, don't we realize, like, this is so obvious? You know, it's one thing to mention Manny Ramirez on the Rays, but isn't Emmitt Smith on the Cardinals so obvious that you'd think we'd have that one?
That's the thing. You can't really have a running ticker on the radio. Here's all the guys we've named
right,
and just keep doing it every 10 minutes. So, yeah, it seems really obvious. The best part, though, was that who was the final call that broke, the straw that broke the camel's back for you?
It's my father. My father, who was on vacation by himself and, of course, going nowhere, but sitting in the backyard under the deck with his dog, just listening to the show on Alexa, texts me, hey, how about Emmitt Smith to the Cardinals? And I dropped a couple F-bombs to him in a text message, knowing, by the way, because I tweeted out enough of Emmitt Smith that he's not following me on Twitter, and he literally just thought, hey, you guys didn't mention this. Dad, enough. We did mention it 43 times. Enough.
So this upcoming weekend, you're leaving for Hawaii for the week?
That's it.
So next week, you're out.
I'm out. Get me out.
Get him out.
Get him out. I'll be in two islands, Oahu and Kauai.
Volcano islands?
Well, every island in Hawaii is the volcanoes. The current volcanic problems are existing on the quote-unquote the Big Island, which
big
is one
island.
Of the islands. We are avoiding the Big Island.
Now, is the Big Island called Hawaii and then the other islands have different names? Like,
all the islands have different names, but they're all Hawaii. It would be like going to, I mean, it is a state, so it's just like picking cities, if you will, and then there's towns within the city.
So the Big Island, I wonder what the Big Island's actual name is.
It's the Big Island.
That's what they've named it?
It's Oahu, Maui, the Big Island, Kauai, and there's another one.
So why did the Big Island get an English name, and then all the other ones have native Hawaiian names?
I don't know. I don't know, but if you look on a map, it's called the Big Island, and all those other ones are called that.
So volcanic problems is on the Big Island.
Right now, yeah. The Big Island has the eruptions, the lava flows.
Which is where Honolulu is.
No, Honolulu is on Oahu. That's where I'm going first.
Oh.
I'm staying on Waikiki Beach in Honolulu.
Nice.
That's where Pearl Harbor is as well over there. So I'm doing that for a couple days and then going over to Kauai where Jurassic Park was filmed. And that has like all the beautiful nature. You would love that. The nature trails with the waterfalls.
Yeah.
And other volcanoes. So we're going to do that one day, do a bunch of hiking, which, you know, an 11-mile hike, a mile and a half in, I'm going to be cursing at my wife going, get me back to a coconut on the beach.
Get me out.
But, yeah, so we got a lot coming up.
That's awesome. So
I heard you mention last week that's one of the two states you've never been to either.
Yeah. I think Idaho and Hawaii is the last one. So
very odd for me to travel somewhere you've never been.
Yeah. Actually, I take that back. I've added Oregon to the list. Oregon, Idaho, Hawaii are the last ones for me. Hawaii is just a far trip. I mean, I can't believe I checked off Alaska, but I did do Alaska a number of years ago because I was covering the Great Alaska Shootout in college when Syracuse played there against Ohio State, and I think they played Penn State, somebody else. So that was really wild. I mean, I had a...
It's a big Thanksgiving.
That was a Thanksgiving. Yeah, Thanksgiving I spent senior year in college in Anchorage with Andrew Catalan. Two of us eating turkey at a sports bar.
Ah, see, it was all worth it.
But Hawaii's amazing, but how long is that trip from New York?
So from New York, you can get direct flights. We did not. So I believe it is going to take us with a hour layover each way, 13 hours there, 11 and a half hours back. My layover on the way there is in Salt Lake City. So I have to get off the plane in Salt Lake City for an hour. I don't know, find something to eat, stockpile my bag. That's another thing I'm worried about. I need to put food in my bag because I feel like I'm going to be starving for that long.
Yeah, because how long are the two legs?
One is...
Here to Salt Lake, it's got to be five.
I think it's five, and then we're looking at a seven from Salt Lake to Hawaii.
That's why it's always been intimidating for me.
Yeah, it's a long trek, and then on the way back, I stop at LAX and then back to New York.
So and you're doing 1 week?
1 week, so...
Saturday to Saturday?
No, I'm leaving Sunday morning early, but we get... So I'm leaving 7 a.m. New York time. I'm landing at the equivalent would be 8 p.m. New York time. However, it's 2 p.m. in Hawaii.
Right.
So it's going to mess me up. I'm going to get off. But in theory, I'm going to have my whole afternoon in Hawaii. Okay. But my body's going to think it's 8 p.m. On the way back, I'm leaving on a red eye Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like an 11 p.m. flight or something like that. And I don't land until 4:30 in the afternoon Eastern time on Sunday. So essentially, that whole next Sunday is like, what happened to me?
Oh, my God. That Monday morning when you come in, you're going to be a nightmare.
Shawnee bagged on Monday.
Nice.
I took off
buffer
that Monday.
Day.
Buffer. And you know what I thought about?
That's smart, though.
Because by the time I land and I got to get situated, and what? I'm just going to jump right back into sleep and get on New York time. I feel like that long a flight, I need a day just to kind of get my wits about me.
You won't be productive that Monday.
No, exactly. Jump in. First of all, I won't have any clue what the heck happened on the week in sports either.
You need a buffer day.
I need a buffer day. So I'm pumped for that. But again, big concerns. Food, what do I eat on the flights? Mm-hmm. How much do I pack? Am I packing McMuffins into the bag and popping them out every 2 hours? And I'm hosting till 2 a.m., have a flight at 7 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to sleep, essentially.
No, not at all.
But the hope is, and the reason I took that shift, I could sleep on the flight, I'm hoping. But if I can't sleep on the flight, I'm going to be so loopy by the time I get to Hawaii, and I don't want to mess up that first day either.
No, you need the buffer day.
The buffer day's huge.
Huge. Smart move. Veteran of the process right there.
Veteran. So we'll see. Me in Hawaii, what could go wrong?
You know, we were joking behind the scenes today about, in radio, who would be the equivalent of Tony Parker going to the Charlotte Hornets and seem really weird. And we're making jokes about guys that have moved on from producer roles and went to do other things. And then we kind of brought up D-Ben, Tom DiBenedetto, who is formerly the overnight producer for Amy, who... Mm-hmm. We've talked about in this podcast, moving to weekends. And so there was the big debate that we did on the podcast, which was, would you rather work Monday through Friday overnights, but it's a five-day work week, you have your weekends off.
Right.
Or would you rather have 2 days off during the week, In this case, I think it's Monday, Tuesday he's off.
I think so.
Let's just say that for argument purposes. But you're working Saturday, Sunday, and you lose your nights, your weekend nights. So Saturday night, you're out. Sunday night, you're out. You're working here at the studio.
But you're sleeping on a normal schedule.
Would you rather just be off overnights? And we both said it's a really tough call because we did overnights, and they're just miserable and brutal.
Right.
But at least you have your weekends. And you kind of get a three-day weekend in some ways because you're off the air at 6 a.m. Friday morning.
Or can look at it as a one-day weekend where you're so tired Friday, and then you're off Saturday, and then, boom, you got to go back in Sunday night. Either way, it works.
I never thought about it. A one-day weekend.
There were some weeks where it was bleak in my mind where I was so tired on Friday, only had seven, woke up Sunday, like, great, I got to go back tonight.
Tonight, which is a Sunday. You wake up Sunday, though.
Yeah, but the point is Friday, since you get out and you're so
cooked.
Messed up, you're cooked, it doesn't count anyway, and you only have Saturday. There were plenty of times where I looked at it as the three-day, but there were a lot of times I looked at it as the one-day.
Because you looked at Friday as a work day, and then Sunday as a work
yes,
day.
Yes, exactly. Correct.
Because you go in for because Monday's show is technically Sunday night. You're on the air at 2 a.m. Eastern time Monday morning, but you
and
go
it's
into-
not like you're enjoying cocktails on a Sunday or anything, because you still got to go in at night.
Okay. So we debated this. This was a tough one, but how about this? James Ward, who formerly had that role on the weekends, has left for a television job. He's got promoted and got a tremendous job on the television side of things, which is awesome. But now I need a producer for Sunday Morning Football.
Oh, boy.
And so I think that D-Ben might end up sliding into that role, which I hope because I really like Tom. So, I've been asking people around here, because I haven't seen Tom since he switched, because I'm not around during the weekends. How's he doing?
He produced for me on the 4th of July.
People have said he looks like a new man.
Couldn't agree more.
People have said this guy has his life zest, his zeal for life back, wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, excitable. This is a man that has lost his Saturdays and Sundays and works at night on both of them. And couldn't be happier. What does that say about the overnight shift?
It drains you. It kills you. And I can speak to this. He was my producer when I filled in for Bill Ryder on the 4th of July.
Okay.
And any time I've been around Tom in the past, I like him, but he always kind of was like cranky or he could be moody. I couldn't have had a happier, more productive producer than I had in
really?
Tom on the 4th of July. Laughing, having a good time, even going to him on the air and stuff. He was funny, quick. It was like a totally different person than I had known 2 months
wow.
earlier.
How about that?
I walked out of the lift and the whole ride home, some of the stuff Tom was saying off the air, he couldn't have been better, more productive. I think it's such a mental drain to work overnight. It really is. You don't think about it in the moment until you get out of it. So I guess it's like being in a gang, right? Like you don't realize how much trouble you're in. Then you get out of it. You're like, why was I in that life? You know,
that's probably a good metaphor, actually, because
it's exactly the same thing.
I was coming into work at 1 a.m., we were here until 6 a.m. I would stay until 7, go home, try to be in bed by 8, and sleep 8 to 2, 8 to 3. Then be up, and then, okay, yeah, you're up, but you're, like, trying to get your body back normal, and you can't tell if you're hungry or not.
7 hours behind everybody. Am I eating breakfast? Am I eating lunch?
You have not slept well because it's bright out. There's noises outside your house. You can never sleep quietly in the middle of the day. UPS comes, postman comes, delivery comes, Amazon comes, whatever. You get woken up.
I mean, if you live with somebody, they think just because you're home and they need something dropped off or that you should be running errands.
I'm sure some people keep their phone on during this. I put my phone in the other room and silenced it so that I had no idea. But for you were kind of like booking guests in the middle of it. So you're waking up 3 hours in, trying to book a guest.
Checking emails, falling back asleep, seeing if somebody answered me. It was a brutal process. Waking up, Ryan Callahan's traded. There's a whole thing going on.
And then we would eat dinner. I guess you and Kenny Brock would come here like right after dinner or like around 10.
We would get here by like 10, yeah.
10. I would, after dinner, I would not be able to stay up until 1 a.m., so at around like 9 or 10, I would take a one-hour nap and then wake up at midnight.
Brutal.
And come in. So imagine doing that 5 days a week and then on the weekends trying to figure out like if you can sleep normally, which you can't.
Yeah, trying to reset your body.
And then do that a couple of years. Forget it. And so
we did it 2 years. We were at the end of our ropes. He did it 3+.
Tom D., congrats. I'm glad you're off of that because now you're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. You got your zest for life back.
And long story longer, he only had to do weekend nights for like 2 weeks because of this James Ward job. Now he's going to weekend days, so he's getting his weekend nights
off. Nice. Oh, so
that was announced. So that would be how he could fit in with Sunday morning football.
Gotcha.
So it's just the timing of it worked out where he only bit the bullet on weekend nights for 2 weeks. Now working weekend still isn't great, but he has his nights off.
Yeah, that's big.
Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, he's home.
He took the risk and it paid dividends.
Sometimes you just roll the dice and they hit for you.
Wow.
So it's worked out for Tom, and I'm telling you, if he ends up, and I don't know the ins and outs of this, your producer, judging by what I had, I think you'll be happy.
Very good. That's Side A. Here's Side B.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, welcome into Side B of the PGP. A very special Side B. It is the 200th permission granted podcast. 200. And as you can see, we've lost track of these so much that you didn't even hear acknowledgement of the 200th inside A. That's how good we are. They don't matter. Well, they do matter, but we lose count because we're putting out quality podcasts week after week. And I am Sean Mraz, host of Side B on the PGP and executive producer of the DA Show, joined. Who else would we have when you think about the history of the DA Show? 200 permission granted podcasts. There's nobody you'd rather have more that has been a fabric of this show from day one than Andrew Bogish. Andrew, how you doing?
From day one, I am honored and overjoyed and really now worried about being the guest on episode 200. I need to bring something to the table here. I'm not sure I'm prepared.
Well, we're going to have fun like we always do. And right off the shoot, I would say a lot of this is going to focus on behind the scenes some food stories and some food elements, which really ties in 200 episodes of the PGP.
It's probably the leading topic.
Right. Yeah. If food's not at the focus. And, you know, give you the rundown here. We'll go right out the chute. Number one, yesterday I was stunned at how much on Twitter the waffle versus French toast debate took off, involving France versus
Belgium.
All right. So this is where I got thrown off. The country is
Belgium.
But the people are
Belgian.
I don't get it. I said Belgiumese, and that was wrong?
Oh, yeah, it's very wrong.
Why would you change the M and the N? It doesn't even make any sense.
I can't get into the linguistics of this, but all I know is that
Belgiumers, you know, it could have been anything
that. No, I mean, Belgiumese is probably the logical assumption, but unfortunately it's not.
I just don't get what, if it's Belgian, you know, you can get confused there.
Yeah, I mean, Belgiumese waffle, it just doesn't flow off the tongue.
Yeah, but it's not a Belgian waffle. It's a Belgium waffle.
No, it's a Belgian waffle because it's from Belgium. It's a Belgian waffle.
No. Anytime I've been out to breakfast, it's been order a Belgium waffle.
You may be saying Belgium waffle, but if you look at the menu, it's Belgian. And in particular,
this isn't shtick. I think you're wrong.
At any actual, like, upstanding establishment, it's a Belgian waffle. Like, they're French fries, not France fries or France toast. By the way, you've handled that transition from France to French pretty easily. So
I did.
Let's get a hold of this next one.
Well, what about then calling it Brench, you know, instead of Belgium or Belgench?
Why would we do that?
Well, if it's like France or French. You see what I'm saying? Like, where do they figure this out? Why is it not Fransom then or Franson then if it's Belgian? Like, there should be a consistent way we refer to people from countries if we're not going to call them by the country name.
I don't know why the ESE thing is like your, like, why China to Chinese is your basic transition for this conversation.
I guess you're right, because we're in America, but we're Americans.
Right, right.
But if you're in Belgium, you should be Belgiumans.
And they're Russians. And yeah, but then they're the English or the Irish. I mean, it just changes. There's no rhyme or reason here.
There should be more consistency, and there's not. But
correct. Well, at least for you.
I do have to let you know you are wrong. It is Belgium waffle.
Okay. I'm glad you confirmed that.
Anyway, I was shocked at how much it took off for talking about the World Cup there. And I'm also shocked at how many people are so pro-French toast and how rare I see people when I'm out to breakfast order French toast.
Mm.
I just don't get. It's like that's like the trendy, cool thing to say is that you like French toast. Like the waffle is an American pastime or a Belgium pastime, if you will. And we have confirmation, by the way.
We've adopted it.
To get way off topic here, did the waffle actually get invented in Belgium?
Maybe that kind of waffle, the bigger four-quarter one? I mean, that's the difference. Like it's not a Lego my ego.
Right. Well, the ego probably got invented in America. But the Eggo was probably a spinoff of the Belgium waffle.
Right, and you know, decreased in size to fit inside the box, to fit inside the freezer at the supermarket.
But I'm saying they wouldn't just call it a Belgium waffle.
No one does, but okay.
If it wasn't invented in Belgium.
Perfected there? I don't know. I mean, like, pasta was first in Asia, and then but now it's an Italian thing. I mean, things...
A noodle was in Asia. Pasta was in Italy.
Okay, but you see my point.
Right. Now, I have no doubt toast was invented anywhere else but France, but they put their own spin on it to make it the French toast.
Right.
You know, by dipping it in the batter with the cinnamon and so much, so often.
You know, it's funny. We had this conversation, and part of your argument, and it's a very valid one, the versatility of a waffle.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very valid one, and it is... It wins that particular head-to-head with French toast. Well, I went home yesterday, and I was flipping around, and I ended up on the Travel Channel.
Oh, that's a big Tuesday.
And they were making a croque monsieur, which is... Those are two French words. Don't worry about it. But it's a sandwich, and it's French toast as the bread with ham and cheese.
That sounds delicious.
Right.
Croque monsieur.
Yeah, I don't know what croque
means. So like a dead
means.
Masseuse.
Well, monsieur, I think, is man.
Oh.
Like Mister.
I would take that as a masseuse, and croque means you're dead. Dead masseuse.
Yeah, again, croque's an English word. This is C-R-O-Q-U-E.
Croquet, like a potato.
Similar. A croquette, yeah, exactly.
You sure it's not a croquet masseuse?
It's not. It's not it's not masseuse either. It's croque masseur.
Croque masseur, okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to bring up that I was stunned by that development, how much people were into
toast.
It. Yeah, I'm starving.
And not a Belgian waffle.
On top of that, we discussed pre-show on this, and all of a sudden we ordered breakfast yesterday, which we rarely do order breakfast as a show. And myself, well, you got me hooked on the turkey sausage. You said, I'm going to get a turkey sausage, eggs, and cheese on a bagel.
Yeah.
I did the same. I loved it. You were disappointed by thus turkey sausage.
Yes, the sandwich in a vacuum was good. The problem was... I wanted like a circular sausage patty, which you get often at like a fast food, Dunkin' Donuts,
correct.
McDonald's. That's what you get. I wanted that turkey version pretending to be healthy. Instead, we got like a butterfly turkey sausage link on the
almost
sandwich.
Like a thick kielbasa.
Yeah, I mean, it was
Polish.
It was good. It just wasn't what I was specifically craving. So there was a very small little window of disappointment for me.
Yeah, you
and
said,
then 5 o'clock happened.
Yeah, and we'll get to that now. You were disappointed by the sausage. I ended up loving it. I thought it was a hearty meal. You, though, come in this morning and say, turkey sausage, bad scene, 5 p.m. Plumbing problems on Long Island.
Now, it was filling. I didn't have lunch yesterday because the bagel was so good. Went to the gym.
Oh, no.
Got a smoothie from the gym. Now,
it's like lighting a match.
I can't blame the smoothie because it couldn't have acted that fast. But
no, but it could be. It could light as.
But it was the impetus,
right? It's an igniter
for almost not getting home.
Oh come on!
Yeah, I mean it was dicey.
Now I understand me not getting home. Well, Robbie Rosenhaus, as he finds his way in every PGP, not getting home. The bigger guy who's had his share of plumbing incidents.
Right.
The bogus, the skinny guy, nervous to even fart around people. You're the guy now that it almost didn't make it home?
Well, I mean, it was sometimes things happen. And
bead
whatever,
of sweat? Making a right into your neighborhood going, oh, my body knows I'm almost home?
I did maybe break a law or two, like, and was jumping around people and driving a little more aggressively than I normally would have to get home. Now, I did safely get home in time, but it was as dicey a situation as I've had in recent memory.
A photo finish, would you say?
Close to it.
No better feeling than that, huh?
Yeah.
When you win the race, if you will.
Avoiding the embarrassment of having to clean my car, yes. That was a good feeling yesterday.
I don't need a detailing. This is good. No. That's number two on the food agenda. Number three.
Literally.
Something that I'm sure no listener really cares about, yet we've discussed on the PGB before. So much so has had Ike Feldman on. Donut Friday's taking a hit around CBS Sports Radio as we approach this Friday. This is Wednesday morning. So there is some controversy going on in the CBS Sports Radio newsroom. And let me just say, two Fridays ago I came in, and there's usually a dozen donuts that are shared amongst the newsroom. But on most days, there's like 7 donuts by the time I come in because they're purchased about a half an hour before I arrive. And, you know, there's usually a good variety in the bunch. Two Fridays ago, for whatever reason, there was only 2 donuts left. neither of which were ones I particularly like, so I passed on Donut Friday, which is fine for whatever reason. The donuts went hot and heavy early. You understand, you lose that week. You move on, I figure it out. I went and bought a muffin for myself instead, anticipating the donut, didn't have it. Last week I come in, there's a full six-packer of donuts, but not in a dozen donut boxes, to six-pack. I was told only six were purchased. I later found out it was six and six, and the other six went to the other station over here. In that six box, three were jelly, two were cream-filled, one was strawberry-frosted. Now, here's my issue there. Number one, I don't like biting into anything that squirts in my mouth. I've made that clear before. So jelly donuts and cream-filled donuts are out. I understand that might, you know, be for some people, but they're out for me. I have taken the temperature of this newsroom before.
Yes.
And for the majority of this newsroom, the jelly and cream-filled ones don't go over well here. They just don't. This is not a squirting newsroom.
No, we're mostly gentlemen around here.
We're mostly gentlemen.
So we step away from those. Now, I'm okay with the jelly donut. Boston cream, never, ever, ever.
But we don't need five of them.
No, and this has been, I didn't want to bring this up. I'm glad that you did. This is one of the good reasons for you having you around, because you say things that others don't want to say.
Right.
Ike, who created this.
Yes,
who fought
Ike Feldman.
Fought us to the death on the Entenmann's versus Dunkin' Donuts debate as well.
Right, correct.
He is horrible at actually buying the donuts. When it's my turn, I take pride in picking. I mean, you get.
I think about every person in the newsroom. I think he likes this. I think he likes this.
Now, I don't go personal, but I do. Like, if you go to Dunkin', they'll pick them for you, and it's a disaster. I'll stand there, and I'll get six, seven, eight different types of donuts within the 12.
Right.
So there's variety. Others go close their eyes and get whatever they get, and it's usually a disaster.
Well, Dunkin' wants to get rid of some of the stuff that doesn't move, like the cream-filled ones. So, and that's no offense to Dunkin' Donuts. You got a job to do.
Right.
But the point is, so last week I look at that box of six, and I can't have any of those. I don't like it. So now I'm 2 weeks without donuts. And now I'm getting frustrated because my day's coming up to buy donuts. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to buy the donuts, I need to at least have donuts bought for me in previous weeks, if you will.
Right.
So now I've come to the situation with two straight weeks of me not eating donuts. Okay, now next week was going to be my week where I was going to buy. I'm on vacation, so we were going to have to bump it back. The person who's supposed to buy this week gets asked by Ike Feldman this morning, Wednesday morning, hey, it's your week
reminded.
To buy donuts. Reminded. That person that shall be remain nameless says, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm
going on
Friday.
How about that?
I'm out.
That's for next week.
I'm out.
Ike today.
Gets told, I'm out on Donut Friday by this person. Shockwaves through the newsroom.
Yeah.
Because this is the first blow to Ike, who thinks he's like the dictator of donuts, if you will. The DD.
The dotator.
He gets told no, and that's an embarrassing moment for Ike in front of everybody. Ike then has the nerve to turn to me. All right, well, Sean, you're on vacation next week. Your turn to step up if he's out. And by the way, tells us the person, no more donuts for you.
Yeah.
Which I get.
You can't have another donut ever.
You can't have another donut ever.
We're breaking the cipher.
Which was rough. Oof. But Ike turns to me then and goes, well, you're next in line. You step up. I tell him, based on me not having donuts two previous weeks, I was waiting to see if there was a donut I liked this week or I was going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, by the way, got off the ship before me. It's like taking a job before, you know, I'm leaving. I tell Ike, no, I have to now make my move, put my stones on the table. I'm out. Because if I don't have that week to make sure it's not 3 weeks in a row, I can't personally live with myself if I'm buying donuts after being shafted two previous weeks. So now I'm out, leaving Ike 3 weeks backed up. He left in a huff, and I have to say, I think the very fabric of Donut Friday might be over with getting slammed with two home runs like that.
This was a beautiful thing. Donuts, for like 4 or 5 weeks at a time, they were free until
right.
It was your turn to buy them.
And I've had no problem buying them in the past.
No.
I've been on the record.
No, and I think it's, I've thought about getting a different kind of donut provider. We had the Entenmann's Friday.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot.
Changing it up.
Right. This is taking on a life of its own, mostly in a positive way. Today wasn't a good day.
Today wasn't a good day. And I have to say, I think diabetic shock around CBS Sports Radio on Friday.
I might just take Friday off.
Right.
And avoid the whole thing.
Me too. But it's the Donut Me Too movement, I guess. Well, that's going to wrap it up. I'm away next week. By the time I'm back here on the PGP in 2 weeks, I will have an update. We have to know if Donut Friday still exists.
Yes.
Or if it exists like as a farewell tour this Friday. Something's going to happen one way or another. But the donuts that you guys listening don't eat and don't care about will be discussed more in 2 weeks. So thank you for a very riveting edition of the 200th Permission Granted Podcast.
Belgian waffle.
Yes, Belgium waffle.
Nope.
Exactly. Andrew Bogish, you can follow him on Twitter.
At Andrew Bogish.
You can follow me on Twitter, at MirazCBS. Have a great Belgium French weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.